Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren here, and I want to invite you to my new home, The Big 615, exclusively on TuneIn. So what is The Big 615? Well, simply put, it's the official home of country music broadcasting live from Nashville to the world. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. Get the latest on country music, from your favorite artists to the hottest songs climbing up the charts. Oh, and it's commercial free. That means a whole lot more music and a whole lot more country. Hear it all on the Stormy Warren Show, weekdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play The Big 615 on TuneIn. And I look forward to having you join me on The Big 615.
This is your country station.
The Big 615.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/positive.
Thanks for all your kind words about vacation. I got text messages from family and friends, of course, asking about my trip and my time with Bob. But also, many of you sent tweets, you posted on Facebook, and even now, as I'm retweeting the pictures and sharing, I promise more on Facebook coming up, a lot of you are responding in droves, and that means a lot to me that you care about what I do and where I go, maybe a little bit too much. I'm kidding. When I'm not here in the radio studio, you still care about me as a person, and that matters to me a lot, so thank you. If you haven't seen the photos, they're up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page from each of the hikes, and I do have some other photos to share that maybe I'll get to on Monday morning. Princess Leia, after going 1,000 miles in the last week, not even a week, needs breaks. Now, she needed this before my trip, but I'm dropping her off this morning for breaks. Whatever you inject into your AC to make it colder, mine has stopped being cold. Don't you hate it when that happens, Jay? Right to the point we're about to hit summer. What's it called? I don't think it's Freon anymore. I think it's AC injector or coolant. I don't know. I'm not a car person. I just know Princess Leia gets me where I need to go. So yes, she needs some type of a update with her coolant. She also needs an air filter and she needs fuel injector fluid. So all of these different maintenance items to be checked off on Monday.
Refrigerant?
That's an awkward word. Whatever makes the AC colder, you car people, you know. So Princess Leia is headed for a spa day. It's a spa day for Princess Leia, which means I'll be out without a car on Monday once I drop her off. So it's all right. It's a good day to sleep. I'm sure that she will feel much better after her 1,000-mile vacation. But she was great. She was solid, reliable, as always. And yes, there are photos up. More photos going up. We were in West Virginia, Harper's Ferry, Wolf Gap, also in Virginia, in Winchester area. Got together with my brother's family for dinner and then back to New Jersey where Bob met Penny and Sugar for the first time, not to mention a bunch of friends of mine who ambushed him at church. Poor guy. He looked overwhelmed. Oops. I tell one person and she tells a whole lot of others.
Of course that was going
to
happen.
Yes. But it was really neat to introduce him to some of my friends because we've not done that before. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. And end of July, it's my turn to go to Houston in the middle of the summer.
And you'll get all the questions.
Oh, I'll get all the questions. Actually, I was scheduled to meet his entire family coming up in July. So that'll be interesting. Mom's doing well, too. She had foot surgery on Thursday, currently in a wheelchair. Her poor husband is having to take her everywhere. But get this. I had no idea. She had bone spurs kind of removed and a bone that was cut and smoothed on the top of her foot. Just ow. at the end of her big toe, or maybe it was her second toe, she had a pin. I don't know why. Something to do with the nerve block. That's all I know. It was something to do with a pin in her toe. And you could see the pin sticking out the end of her toe. Yeah, no, it freaked out when I saw the picture. Apparently, the first night, anytime she dipped her foot toward the floor, blood would come out the hole where the pin was.
Oh.
Right. So the pin is in the toe for a few days. Yesterday, so the doctor had given instructions to my mom's husband about how to remove the pin. Mike removes the pin. Mom can't really see it because she's wearing some sort of an air cast. I'm not exactly sure what kind, and she's in a wheelchair anyway. 10-inch long pin comes out of her toe. She said she couldn't feel it because of the pain meds, and she's, thankfully, she's not in a ton of pain anymore. Her pain level is lessened, though when the pain meds are done, maybe, you know, she'll experience some. But I guess the worst of the pain is behind her. A 10-inch needle or wire or something comes out of her toe.
It's like the whole foot.
No, it's longer than that.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway, this is about nerve blockage to help with the pain, I think. But Mike pulled it, and it just kept coming out and coming out.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and do that at home.
Yeah, they told Mike. They gave Mike instructions about how to pull this pin out of her toe. So it's out.
I got it, I guess.
I guess. They got the pin out of her toe, and she's... better now. The pain is much less than it was.
Did it, like, bleed after that? I imagine
No.
It's all good?
It didn't bleed. Wow.
Fascinating. Surgery.
The things
medicine.
You learn. Yeah, so mom is in a wheelchair for a while, though soon will be in a boot, but it can't get into a boot yet until she's able to put pressure on her foot. Can't do that. But all of this is good because my mom has had these bone spurs and she's been unstable and I've been worried about her falling. And this was her opportunity to get the foot fixed while she's on summer vacation from school. So for those of you who've asked, she's doing very well. Thank you. And it was a good stretch and a good time away from work. Had to come back and reconnect and recalibrate with the sports world. And thank you to the Mets for giving me something to watch, like a comedy of errors, the bad news bears, if you will. So we'll get to some of the headlines for Major League Baseball. Also, Keegan Bradley, finally a winner on the PGA Tour at the Travelers Championship. We've even got a little bit of the College World Series, kind of crazy. And if we can, we'll get to the NBA. I can't promise you that we will. But with the draft last week, plus a major trade by Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart, longtime Celtic, no longer in green, so no longer bleeding green. And Victor Wembanyama, Wembanyama. The number one pick on Thursday, speaking out for the first time. So we'll try to work in some basketball, but there's a lot to do here. As producer Jay said earlier, who has time to talk about sports when I've got so much to share with you about my time away? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Twitter, Facebook, there's pictures. There will be more pictures. Just trust me, you want to check out the pictures. Not because it's me, but because it's green. Lush green, which reminds me, I've misplaced Yoda, the yodeling pickle. I'm not exactly sure where he is. I'm sure my cat is happy about that. She was scared by the yodeling pickle.
I bet. It's horrifying.
All right. Old habits die hard. Did you know that? We're asking you on this edition of the show, and I'm sure you're not surprised to know the Mets are the inspiration for the question, because old habits die hard. Which teams in sports have those reputations that precede them, where fans actually expect them to fumble and bumble and stumble and ultimately crumble? The teams that craft new ways to lose. I wouldn't say a 3-run lead is insurmountable for the Mets, but I would say that the bullpen came up with new and creative ways to blow a game against the Phillies. All of this taking place in the 8th inning on Sunday as the Phillies send 10 men to the plate. Now, if I told you they only had one hit in the inning, you might think, okay, they limited the damage. No harm, no foul. No, here's the crazy part. They scored 4 runs with only one hit. 4 runs with only one hit. on the Phillies and Mets radio network.
The pitch. Swing and a ground ball left side. Beatty's got it. Double pumps. The throw is wide at second. They don't get it out. Brett Beatty with a bad throw to second. McNeil couldn't handle it. A run is home. Everybody's safe. Three balls, two strikes to Marsh. The right-hander kicks the pitch. And it's high ball four. Brandon Marsh walks to drive in a run. Brigham kicks and deals, and the pitch way inside. It did hit him. It hit him, and the game is tied. And we do have ice for that.
Yeah, we do.
6-6 as Kyle Schwarber hit by a pitch with the bases loaded. 2-2 to Turner. Now the pitch. Breaking ball inside. He hit him. He hit him on 3-2, and that brings the go-ahead run home. Unbelievable implosion by the Mets bullpen.
Every time I see the highlights for the Phillies, so four runs in the eighth, they ultimately win the game, or the lowlights for the Mets, whichever is your perspective, I see them on TV, and Justin Verlander is standing on the top step of the dugout looking like someone has just stolen his Cy Young Award. Actually, it might be worse than that, as though someone has posted naked pictures of him on the internet. Oh, wait, that did happen. Yeah, I don't think he was actually concerned about that. He looks like someone has stolen his puppy. It's the look on his face. Welcome to the Mets, Justin Verlander. And let's be fair, you and Max Scherzer are part of the problem this season, but not on Sunday. So the Mets, here's the final tally for the Phillies in that inning against the Mets. The Mets bullpen issues three walks, puts two guys on via the hit-by-pitch, one guy on with an error, and they score four runs with only one hit. Four runs with just one hit. But that's hard to do. It's going from bad to worse for the New York Mets. I said this earlier. They steal defeat from the jaws of victory. And yeah, Jeff Brigham, part of the bullpen effort. He had the loss and the blown save, but trust me, it wasn't just on him.
I was trying to go in on short with the cutter, and I yanked it a little bit, and it caught his knee there. And then I was trying to throw a slider to Turner, and just backed it up a little bit. Right now, I was just going out there to compete my butt off, and just trying to put my best stuff out there, and hope I can get it done. And tonight or today, I didn't.
That definitely wasn't his best stuff. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that wasn't his best stuff. But it wasn't just him, Jay. He didn't even start the inning, if I remember correctly. There were so many other Met misfits, that were part of this debacle. Yeah, they had three guys to reach base from one pitcher. Was that Walker?
I believe. Yeah, well, Brett Beatty had a chance to put a stop to the inning right away. He actually took the blame for the loss after the game. He started this whole thing with couldn't get the ball out of his glove in time, and then just
oh, that's right, that was the error.
Yeah.
So it's Brett Beatty, it's Josh Walker, it's Jeff Brigham, and you've got one guy who's walking hitters, one guy who's like seemingly throwing the ball directly at the Phillies. It almost looked like he was attempting to beam them on purpose. That's like me when I'm at the golf course. If I try to hit the tree, I won't. Maybe he was attempting to hit the batters. I don't know. Reverse psychology. Brett Beatty couldn't get the ball out of his glove. So, yeah, it was the bad news bears for the New York Mets.
The whole weekend, Brandon Nimmo on Friday night drops a fly ball, then Lindor drops a fly ball in the outfield to lose that game. I don't know. It's just the way they're losing games is just, you wouldn't think a team that's managed by Buck Showalter should be losing games this way.
Right. Well, he says there's not a whole lot to do except put it behind you. Meanwhile, for the Phillies, if this is a turning point for them, they certainly showed us last year what they can do. If you give them an inch, they can take a mile. And now Trey Turner is part of the equation.
Keep some momentum going. You know, I feel like in the last series we hit a little bit of a wall, obviously, and then, the series, this was a big game. Just to win the series is huge. So kind of keep that momentum going from the last 2 weeks and keeping those wins. These guys and this fan base saw this last year is just keep grinding, keep playing, and you know, good things happen. We kind of have the same mentality this year is you don't know what it's going to look like or who's going to get the job done, but, you know, we don't give up. We're just going to keep playing and keep giving it our all, and, you know, things like that can happen.
So while the Phillies are giving it their all and scoring four runs in the eighth, Buck Showalter finally didn't want to see. He'd had enough. He didn't want to see anymore, so he gets ejected in the ninth, I think. He just was done. That was it. He was, I'm out of here. I need an early shower because I got to take a few breaths before I face the media about this one.
Honestly, I think that's what it is. You have to think
Man.
About it.
It was gross. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. They weren't alone. There certainly were other teams that had disappointing losses. Or how about this? It could be worse. You could be the Colorado Rockies on Saturday.
Next batter up, swinging and driving a ball is Drury out to left center, and that's out of here. Second night in a row, the Angels go back to back. It's 4-0. Here's the next pitch. This is driven deep out into right field, and it's out of here. Matt Theis, the Angels with homers by their first three batters here in inning number three, and now the lead goes to 5-0. At the plate swinging is Moniak, drives the ball deep out into right center, and that ball is out of here. Two more come in. The Angels have had four home runs in the same inning. Angels have 20 runs on 20 hits already in this game. And here's Fletcher swinging and driving a ball deep out into left center. And that one is out of here. That is a three-run homer for David Fletcher. And now it's 23-0.
Really? Mets are off the hook. By far the most embarrassing and brutal and humiliating and painful performance to watch over the weekend or to experience would be the Colorado Rockies. They allow 25 runs on 28 hits to the Angels on Saturday, and that's just a smattering from Terry Smith on Angels Radio. 13 runs in the third alone. So see, the Mets giving up four in the eighth yesterday pales in comparison. 13 runs in the third inning on Saturday. Tons of franchise records for the Angels, and I suspect for the Rockies as well. Get this. Shohei Ohtani goes 1-for-7 in this game, and the Angels still plate 25 runs on 28 hits. I wouldn't have thought that was possible. You can imagine, though, they were having a grand old time.
It was fun. We were putting together good at-bats, and, that's kind of just what we do as a team. And, today was just one of those days where I guess everyone was feeling good and we're getting the right pitches to hit and being able to capitalize on them.
Glad we came out, swung the bats and everything. It's just, you get to a spot where you don't want to disrespect the game and Buddy Black and those guys over there, people that I love and care about. So you just don't want it to get out of hand.
That's Phil Nevin, and actually he felt badly for Bud Black, right, and for some of the other guys with the Rockies. The Rockies did come back and win. They recovered and got the victory on Sunday. However, as you hear Mickey Moniak say, I mean, it's fun. It's just contagious. But come on, 28 hits and 25 runs, even that is unexpected in Major League Baseball, no matter how contagious or fun it happens to be.
You just don't want it to get out of hand.
Yeah, I think it definitely got out of hand. But what are you going to tell your guys to do? Stop hitting? Get a bunch of strikes on pitch clock violations? These are professional athletes. There's no mercy rule in pro sports for good reason. They all get paid. This is what they do for a living. If you don't want to get embarrassed, well, then don't give up 28 hits and 25 runs. They keep score in pro sports because jobs and salaries depend upon it. So I understand and I appreciate that Phil Nevin doesn't want anyone to be embarrassed and they don't want to pile on, but it's pro sports. You play a game for a living. If you don't do your job well, then it turns around, it bites you in the ass and it falls on you. So between the Rockies and the Mets this weekend, we're asking you about the teams in sports that have those reputations that precede them, where fans just expect the other shoe to drop. My answer is the now LA Chargers, but for the longest time it was the San Diego Chargers. And the last we saw the Chargers, they gave us reason to, they reinforced our belief that that is an earned reputation by the Chargers because of their playoff collapse against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Wild Card Weekend, right? They were up 27-0 in the first half because Trevor Lawrence had thrown the four interceptions. Right. The Chargers do, in fact, invent new ways to lose. So do the Mets. All right, so some of your answers. We'll get to your responses on Twitter first, and then we'll get to Facebook later. Cosmo says the Detroit Tigers for sure. Smokey goes with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, that's appropriate. Stu says got to be the Lions. They fired a coach with a winning record, and he says the Lions gonna lion. The Mets gonna Met, the Chargers gonna Charger. We know these are all phrases we hear.
You're back in the dumpers again.
Teresa goes with the Browns. She said it, not me. Lawrence, from baseball, the Oakland A's. From basketball, the Brooklyn Nets. From football, the Arizona Cardinals. And then from hockey, the Arizona Coyotes. Now, see, I kind of feel like the worst are the ones who set you up only to pull the rug out from underneath you. They get you to believe. They hook you. They bait you. Oh, it's a bait and switch. They bait you by making you believe that you are watching a good team, a solid team, a changed team, a team you can believe in. And then they switch right back into the team you've always known and crush your spirit once again. Wow, that sounds so fatalistic. It's what it means to be a sports fan sometimes. James just responded, has to be the Clippers. But then Mike, has to be the New York Jets. Two words, butt fumble. Well, and that's not where it ends. So find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Jay's retweeting, and then also on our Facebook page. We'll get to those answers coming up. Keegan Bradley wins for the first time, and boy, was he excited. It's cool to see. And while we're talking about a record number of runs, the College World Series is down to one final game in Omaha on Monday. I hope you enjoyed your time away from me. I can't miss you if you never go away. You can't miss me if I never go away. But there's videos, there's photos. I left you things, and I come back bearing gifts. So check it out on our social. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning. Final week of June here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the...
Don't you wish your khaki shorts were legitimately comfortable instead of stiff cotton? Try Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts look like khaki shorts, but feel like gym shorts. They have it all. Anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric, a super comfortable built-in liner, and zipper pockets to keep everything secure. It's time to swap your old-school khakis for Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
After Hours Podcast.
New England's very own takes the title at the Travelers.
Yeah. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Always great when you can go home again, and not just go home again, but perform in front of the hometown fans in a tournament that means so much to you, as was the case for Keegan Bradley, first-time winner at the Travelers Championship and had a tournament record, his sixth PGA Tour win. But as I said earlier, his first at the Travelers, this is one that meant so much to him. So he finished with a 2-under 68. And in the first three rounds was so much lower than that. Get this. First 3 days, he was 21 under par combined. So only minus two on the final day. But 62, 63, 64 on the first three rounds. And fans are chanting his name as he walks up to his ball on the 18th green. He just had a short putt to be able to secure the win. As a New Englander, this meant the world to him. This was a tournament he wanted to win. The call there on CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cool to hear his emotion when it's done, obviously. And he can talk about how significant this moment in his golf career.
This is for all the kids that grew up in New England, got to sit through the winters and watch other people play golf. And I just am so proud to win this tournament. Travelers and everybody involved puts on a first-class tournament. It's been like this for a decade, and I'm just so proud to be the winner here.
You weren't much older than your two sons when you came here with your family for the first time. Can you put into words what this full circle moment means? As you said, your kids now know what dad does for a living. They're old enough.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I can't believe that they're here. They're my wife, Jillian, I love her so much. She's the best. I just am so happy to have my family here. They're my lucky charm, and I love them so much.
Keegan Bradley, congratulations to him on the PGA Tour at the Travelers Championship. And he'd had just one bogey all week until the final six holes. So I wonder if there were a few nerves that were getting to him there in New England with so many people that matter to him on a track that he had already said, other than majors, was the tournament he most wanted to win because of his New England background. So yeah, he had to kind of dig down deep and find that mental toughness as he bogeyed three different holes on the final stretch on Sunday.
I was playing great. I didn't look at many leaderboards because I knew I sort of had control of the tournament. You know, whether if I just played my best, I knew I, with Chez, who was kind of right behind me, who was a little bit back, I knew that I sort of had control.
Congratulations to him. But yeah, I really enjoy seeing the highlights of the finish on 18 and his emotion, that release and that relief. And so again, first time winning the Travelers Championship, and other than having a major, this to him is the pinnacle of his career.
It was the first PGA Tour event I've ever been to. Back when I was a kid, I drove from Vermont to come here and watch David Duval play. And, you know, it's an event. My first handful of years on tour, I really struggled at, because the pressure of wanting to play well for my family and for the local community was too much, and I had to learn how to do it. And to other than the majors and, you know, those type of tournaments, this was always the top of my list. And what a special thing to be the winner of this tournament.
I like something else that I saw Keegan say, and that is he, as a New Englander, dreamt of playing in Fenway Park and Gillette Stadium, where the Red Sox and Patriots play. And he says to feel pretty close to what that would feel like. People went up to him and said they'd never heard the 18th hole at the Travelers sound quite as raucous as it did on Sunday. Cromwell, Connecticut is the home of the Travelers Championship. And that's really neat. As a New Englander. Maybe a little bit of what Freddie Freeman felt on Sunday as he had a milestone moment in front of his family and friends in his hometown of L.A.
2-1 to Freeman. Fly ball, right center, racing on back. Tucker, he can't get it.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Rolls to the wall, arriving at second base, Freddie Freeman, career hit 2,000. And altogether fitting and proper, it is with a double. Two doubles today. He leads the league in two base hits with now 27 and a standing ovation for Freddie Freeman. Hit number 2,000. He tips his cap to the fans, receiving a standing ovation. Freddie Freeman.
You know, guys, these last 2 years for me have been pretty special to be able to come back to Southern California from where I grew up and play in front of my family every single night, and for you guys to become family for me. This is what it's all about. You guys know I like the grind. I like to play every day, the consistency, coming to work every single day. And I think that's what 2,000 hits means to me, is just being able to go out there every day and grind and compete every single day. So hopefully we can get a lot more hits together. But thank you guys. It's a treat to be able to compete with you guys every single day. And we get to go on a happy flight tomorrow.
Cheers, Freddie.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, Freddie, in the Dodgers clubhouse with a toast for Freddie Freeman on Sportsnet LA. That's his 2,000th hit, and the toast for that. Though the Astros were able to rally and win at Chavez Ravine in 11 innings, and so the Dodgers do not sweep the Astros, though according to our friend Michael Duarte, who joined us earlier on the show, poor guy was sick, he's still working through it. It was one heck of an atmosphere. First time that the Astros have been in a full Dodger stadium since the whole cheating scandal was exposed from 2017. Remember, they're matching up again like they did in that World Series, and according to Mike, not only did you have the trash cans, you had the catcalls, you had the nonstop booing, but the fans never let up on the Astros. And Dodgers nearly swept. Bullpen couldn't hold it there in the 11th. They are expected to get reinforcements to their pitching rotation, which right now only has Clayton Kershaw as a guy still remaining from the opening day roster. Great conversation with Michael Duarte, part of our podcast, about the Dodgers, a walk-off balk, a potential turning point, and Freddie Freeman, what he's meant in LA and why LA has been the right fit for him. So you can find the link to our podcast every weekday morning. People are still asking me. I just answered a couple of questions on Facebook over the weekend about finding the podcast and where the link is available. Every weekday morning on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and on our Facebook page, and it's posted right after the show is done. If you missed my hiking stories and stories from vacation, did those in the second and third hour, by the way. So that's how you can find them on the podcast.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And now Fabian, a little looper into left. That's going to drop in for a base hit. Holter will score. Thomas will score. Two-run single for Derek Fabian, and it's 24-3. The most runs ever scored in a college World Series game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's our friend Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, as Florida scored the most runs in a college World Series affair and was only one run shy of the record for most exorbitant margin of victory. 20 runs is the margin of victory for the Gators over the LSU Tigers. So now, since each school has won a game in this championship series of the College World Series, they now have game three of the finals on Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Each team has really been able to flex its muscles and get the better of the other. And so it's kind of been interesting to hear them talk about, in the case of Florida, rebounding. But now in the case of LSU, it's no big thing. It's in the rearview mirror. What are you talking about, a 20-run loss?
Everybody in the locker room already forgot about it, really. You know, we do a pretty good job of that, and I think we've only lost, you know, back-to-back games twice this year. So, yeah, everybody's going to be, you know, mentally sharp tomorrow, and, you know, we're going to do what we got to do tonight to get our bodies right, and we'll be good for tomorrow.
You ever hear that old adage in sports, save some of it for tomorrow? Can you save some of it for the next game? It's not actually how it works with runs or points or buckets or shots, anything like that. But if you can carry some of that over, Kevin O'Sullivan of Florida would certainly take that, considering the offense was definitely contagious on Sunday.
We obviously swung the bats really good today, and the wind was in our favor, and so obviously a tight ball game to start, and then, you know, we just swung the bats extremely well, obviously.
So Florida and LSU, pair of SEC teams, will get back on the field one more time in Omaha. Omaha! And the winner is the College World Series champion. After Oklahoma had a three-peat for the Women's College World Series. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. It's a Monday. I cannot believe it is the final Monday of June. Saturday is July. What? My first beach day actually planned for Saturday, which is nice. I'm really looking forward to it. Although this one friend that I go to the beach with, she insists on swimming in the waves. The water might be in the 50s. Okay, maybe not that bad. Maybe it's in the low 60s. That's a little bit too cold. I don't do cold showers. I don't go in the ocean when it's frigid, even though I did grow up in New England and probably did when I was younger. But oh my goodness. Anyway, so that's coming up Saturday, July 1st. So it dawned on me. This is probably a big vacation week, but next week is a huge vacation week. We know a lot of you will be out of your typical routines. If you are, please feel free to take us with you. But also, we always get a ton of new people who either are catching After Hours for the very first time or the first time in a long time. We have different affiliates who carry the show when their hosts are on vacation, local hosts. And we also have a lot of you because you're driving or you're traveling or you're not working, so you're up different hours. Glad to have you with us. If it's you and you're getting ready for a summer vacation, you're on a summer break, let us know that you're taking After Hours along. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, put some pictures up over the weekend from the hikes that I took in West Virginia. So Wolf Gap, West Virginia, and then Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, and the Maryland Heights Trail, which actually is a view of Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia. So pretty cool. Some Civil War history that I adore. Big history buff, and especially military history. Really enjoyed seeing some of the Civil War remnants. There's an old fort up there, and some of the photos and drawings of the fort when it was actually built, but not just that. This mountain that we climbed, thinking about hundreds of soldiers hauling a 9,000-pound cannon up the side of a mountain. Oh, my gosh. And the stand that they had to build for it and the way they had to fortify it. Oh, my gosh. Crazy Civil War history, but really interesting. So check out those photos on Twitter or on Facebook. We've got another round of photos from Hike 1 and Hike 2. So I promise you now, Facebook, you are all up to date as well. And we're asking you about the teams that have the worst reputations in sports. They fumble, bumble, stumble, ultimately crumble, and crush our devoted hearts. So either Twitter or Facebook, a lot, this is in honor of the Mets, but a lot of you responding with the Detroit Lions. Hey, it's a new day with the Lions. This is not the same old Lions. I believed in 22, and I believe in 23.
Who says we can't get flexed?
Exactly. They're not back to, what did he say? We're not back to being bums, or we're not back to being...
You're back in the dumpers again.
Oh, the dumpers. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Dan Campbell, sorry about that. We're not back in the dumpers again. But see, these teams, they get us to believe, they suck us in and they throw us back in the dumpers. That's what happens. The Mets, they're a great example. Spent a lot of money coming off a 101-win season. And boy, it has been the bad news bears. But they're not the only ones. It just says, I'm rambling right now. Making no sense.
I don't know.
You would never, ever, ever call the San Antonio Spurs one of those teams, but boy, have they been irrelevant now for a couple of years. They end up with the overall number one draft pick last Thursday. I missed it. But Victor Wembanyama Wemby fever is sweeping San Antonio. He did an interview over the weekend about what he can bring to the table as a San Antonio Spur, the overall number one draft pick.
People have been showing me love so far, a lot of love, and I think I can give all this back to the fans, to the community, to the franchise, and to the city, and even to the state. And there's a lot I want to do off the court, which is a good thing because I'm probably going to retire before I'm 40 years old. So I need to make something out of my time.
I'm going to do something with my life since I plan to retire before 40 years old. And how cool is this? Can you just imagine being a fly on a wall for this dinner with Spurs legends and Hall of Famers, David Robertson, Tim Duncan, both number one draft picks themselves, Manu Ginobili as well, who's Argentinian, so certainly had to go through that integration into American culture. Even having spent time here before, it's different, right? When you're part of the NBA and more an international flavor, which is great for Wemby because the road has been paved before him. But I do love that he had a chance to sit down with these Spurs legends who would tell him what it's like to be in San Antonio.
Such comforting to see that these people who are so important to the city of San Antonio and to the franchise are such kind people and generous because they genuinely wanted to share with me their experience. I think it's also the position Tim Duncan was in when he came in because he told me he just had to look up to David Robinson and Sean Elliott to follow their path, and he knew he was in good hands.
Actually, producer Jay and I had the same thought. This young man is French, so I'm going to assume Tony Parker was busy. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to think that his time with the Spurs didn't end well and that changed everything they accomplished together. It wasn't the happy ending I think that a lot of Spurs fans would have liked and maybe Tony Parker would have liked. But does that erase everything that he's done with the franchise and everything that he and the franchise accomplished together? I would think not, but maybe he was busy. Maybe he was otherwise engaged.
I would think he'd have to have a relationship with him a little bit, being both Frenchmen, national team mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, there's no way they don't know each other,
right?
Obviously, and probably conversations. I would agree with that. So this is kind of a funny question. Who's tougher, his mom or Greg Popovich?
Was mom as tough as Coach Pop?
No.
when did that begin?
You know, I haven't experienced playing under Coach Pop yet, but I know for sure my mom wasn't as hard as him because she was only my coach when I was probably like 5 years old. So if she had been as tough as Coach Pop, I probably would have quit.
Because of all the hype, he'll have a target on his back. So more than O's and X's to begin with, we'll be most interested in setting a framework and an environment where he's comfortable, where he can be Victor. He's not LeBron or Tim or Kobe or anybody else. He's Victor, and that's who we want him to be.
We've been fortunate. We've been blessed by the basketball gods, and we hope that continues. We wanted to put ourselves in a position where we could build a team that could sustain success for a long period of time. What you guys have had and what you've experienced and enjoyed over the last 20 years has been amazing. And our goal is to bring that back to this city and sustain that for a long time.
First, you hear Coach Pop, of course, Greg Popovich. I like the fact that they don't want him to be LeBron. They just want him to be Victor. That's great. And they want to make sure they bring him along the right way. We know Coach Pop and his staff certainly are able to educate and teach. They have a system that has been effective. And then Spurs GM Brian Wright and what he can mean for the franchise. But there's no possible way for him to evade these expectations because, A, he was the number one overall pick. B, it's a little bit like LeBron when you think about all the hype surrounding him before he ever gets to the NBA. His age, obviously, is part of the equation, too. And then the fact that he was the number one overall pick and the Spurs don't have a lot of those, but the ones they've had have turned into Hall of Famers and champions, right? We'll get to Brad Stevens and the Celtics, the trade that kind of blew me away, the very few minutes that I spent looking at social while I was on vacation. But yeah, Marcus Smart is a Celtic no longer, and Brad Stevens explains. Also, teams that have the worst reputations for creative ways to lose. We'll get to more of those on Monday. Enjoy your Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.